You're listening to the UCB Long Form Conversations podcast, in-depth conversations with performers and teachers from the best alternative comedy theater on the planet. This podcast is modeled on the improv form La Ronde, so the guest of our last episode becomes the host of this episode, and today's guest will become the host of our next episode. The opinions expressed in this episode are those of the comedians talking and don't necessarily reflect the opinions of UCB Theater or Training Center.
Warning. What you're about to hear is an extremely nerdy conversation about long-form improv comedy.
Long-form conversations podcast from Los Angeles. I'm Betsy Sodaro, and I was the guest on the last episode, but today, guess what? I'm the host, baby. And my guest today is Dave Tooney, who improv fans might know from Boom. What we got? We got Bangarang.
We got Bangarang, Sassy Bluff.
Sassy Bluff. We got, what else are you on and proud of, Dave? A million things.
Sure. Done like, Funny or Die videos, College Humor.
I just saw you on Trial and Error. You fell out of a window.
My niece, I watched it with my niece and nephews.
Yes.
And, when I fell out of the window, cause you see my body drop.
Yes.
I hit the ground. And my niece is like in kindergarten or first grade.
Oh.
And she just like looked at the screen. And then looked at me and then looked at the screen and could not figure out how that happened.
I love that. I have some younger nieces too, and I do a voice on two different cartoons. And
yeah.
One, I'm a toucan, and it's essentially my same voice. And then the other, I play this lady who has a plant for her head and does a bunch of different characters. And my niece had that same thing of just like, why aren't you a toucan? And why are you this palm tree or whatever it is?
To be fair, she asks you that nearly every time she sees
you. All the time. She's like, hey, why aren't you that toucan? You're not fun as a human. Dave, thanks so much for being here. We have taken so long to try to schedule this with our busy schedule.
We really have.
I've been wanting to interview you for years. How long have we known each other? Nine years?
We've known each other for 8 years. I came out here in 2009.
Yes.
And so I knew who you were by mid to late 2009.
Yes. Yeah, and I feel we kind of started knowing who each other were around then. Actually, yeah, let's talk about a little bit before moving out here, because you did a lot of stuff in Milwaukee,
absolutely. And don't let me forget.
Yeah.
I want to mention the first time I saw you.
Oh, I will not forget. I'll be sure. I'll ask.
Okay.
Yeah.
I started doing improv in, I'll try to give you the short story here. Started doing improv in Milwaukee and, started taking classes in like 2099.
Right.
Started performing professionally at Comedy Sports, short form improv.
Yeah.
In Milwaukee. Did that for about 8 years. Went out. I'd never lived in Chicago, but drove out to Chicago for a couple of years. 1 year took classes at IO, and then my buddy Mike Kauth and I did those. We made the drive every week, and then we were also got put onto a Herald team for about a year.
Yeah,
and then stopped doing that. Kept doing Milwaukee Comedy Sports for a while, and then moved out here in 2009, and then started doing stuff out here.
What did make you move out here?
At the time, in Milwaukee, I was doing comedy sports on my nights and weekends, and that was like the thing. I don't know if that was like for you, right? Like when you found it.
Yeah.
Improv, it's like, oh, this
is
the thing
I
love.
Do. Yeah.
It's all you want to do, right?
Yeah.
And so it's all I wanted to do. Sorry, I keep bumping this microphone. I hated my day jobs.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, yeah. I had a bunch of day jobs, like 9-to-5ers, but I hated it. That was the time when like, what was it? What was the movie with Mike Judge?
Office Space.
Like,
and was that kind of your world?
Yeah.
Oh,
I just felt
God.
Like that was it. I felt like that was it all the time. And then when we moved out here, at the time I was married when we moved out here, and we wanted to just try something different.
Great.
And something like, and we had both agreed like warm weather.
Yeah.
Maybe near the ocean. And I wanted to go somewhere where, A, I knew some friends,
yes,
and I knew some people in L.A., and also I wanted there to be some kind of comedy scene where,
yeah,
I could, like, perform, but I didn't mean for it to have, it didn't have to necessarily be, like, the
one of the biggest
yeah,
ones in the world.
Yeah. But this is what we chose, and I was really just hating that. I was really just hating normal day-to-day jobs.
Yeah.
So moved out here.
I'm so glad you did, Dave.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you did.
Thanks, Betts, because I got to meet you when I got out here.
Oh, I know. Isn't it the most fun being out here?
It's...
I love it so much.
I feel like we're needling anyone who lives in Nebraska.
Come to L.A. It's a blast.
Yeah.
Palm trees are everywhere.
Yeah, man. They're all over the place.
They're all over the place. They will fall on your car, too, sometimes.
They give you no shade. We can't use their wood for anything.
They're full of rats.
They're full of rats.
Actually, they suck.
Beverly Hills loves
stay
them.
Stay where you are.
Stay in Nebraska. Corn, you're
delicious.
Doing great.
Delicious.
Delicious.
Gives you food. Gives you popcorn, mazes, fun mazes in
the
fall.
Gives you fun maze and mazes.
Maze and mazes.
My God.
Shit, let's go to Nebraska, Dave.
Let's get out of here.
Let's go. We got in a car crash. We're back. Dave, great. Mm-hmm. You move out here in 2009.
Yep.
What made you go towards UCB? Did you study at various places? Is this what we taught? Yeah, this is it, right? This is long form.
A little bit. We will.
What made you think UCB?
When I got out here, I'd already done comedy sports. I did comedy sports when I first got out here.
Yes.
And I did that for about the first, on and off, for about the first 4 years. And for me, it was just, I did comedy sports in Milwaukee. I did IO classes. And so I asked my friend, who we both know, Eric Price.
Yeah.
I said, where should I go to learn something different? And he said, you should go to UCB. So I was like, all right, that's where I'll go.
Great.
So like in the first couple of weeks, came out here and started taking classes.
Yeah.
You must have been taking classes.
I started
a little before
me, I think. 2008.
You started in 2008.
Yeah. I think in May of 2008, I think I started.
Yeah. So I started in late January of 2009.
Okay, yeah.
I'm going to jump forward here. It's the first time I saw you.
Oh, yeah.
Betsy and I are on the same team. We're on a team called Bangarang.
Yeah, we're on Bangarang together.
Yeah, been there for a long time. And the first time I saw Betsy, I went to these, you can go to these, I'm sure I listen to these podcasts, so listeners know what like the indie scene is and whatever. So there's like an independent scene out here. And back then it was way smaller than it is now.
Yeah. It was like three shows a week.
It was like, there's three indie shows.
Like,
you had TNT, you had Crash Bar, and you had
Room
101. Those are the three that I knew about.
Yeah.
And when I did improv in Chicago, I didn't live there.
Yeah.
So we just drive there every week, and I never really got immersed in the scene, and I never saw a lot of shows because I would just drive back. And as a result, like, I wasn't good at Harold's or that type of long form. I just couldn't wrap my mind around it at the time. So when I moved out here, I was like, I'm going to get involved and invested.
Yeah.
I'm like really going to commit. So then I started seeing a lot of these independent shows, and that's when I saw, for the first time ever, I saw this two-woman team at, I think I'm going to say it was TNT, and I could not believe what I was seeing. I was seeing a young Betsy Sodaro and a young Tony Charlene and as Daily Double.
Yeah.
And I remember sitting in that crummy theater
like
off of Sunset. Yeah,
stuff.
The place was awful.
Gross.
But I just remember being like, oh, who are these two people? I've never seen two women. I've rarely seen two-person improv, much less two-woman improv. And I was like, they're so funny. Who are these people? And then we both got put on different Harold teams when we got...
Yeah.
But at the same time, both our teams were created. We were not originally on the same team. And I remember watching you guys got put on the same team. You were both put on Bangarang, and I was put on Delicatessen. And I remember watching you two and the whole group and just thinking like, oh, Bangarang's really good. Delicatessen, we're struggling a bit. But then after a year, my team got broken up, and Neil Campbell, the artistic director at the time, made those calls to break people up or put people on new teams. And then he's like, you're on a team you're going to get put on Bangarang, you and Ryan Meharry. And I'm like, I know Ryan. And I know Bangarang because I've been seeing him for a year.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, were you at, the Birthday Boys had a party, the comedy group, the Birthday Boys. I know Tony was there. I didn't know that many people yet at this point.
Yeah.
But there's a party. But I feel like, I feel like I even said it to you, but I know I said it to Tony. I was like, we met, but we hadn't really talked up to that point. I was like, we're going to be on the same team now.
Then
I was so excited because I was like, those two people who I saw in this dingy theater, I'm going to be on their team. And I think they're super funny. And
aww.
I was so excited. And it's been great.
Yeah.
It's been great.
Dave, you're the best. I'm so glad we are on a team together.
And here's one of the things. I was just thinking about like things to talk about today. And this is like, maybe we can talk about a little bit more.
Yeah, I'm down for whatever, man.
So here's the thing that I think about when I think about like my improv and what I like about improv, what I don't like about improv.
I was just going to ask you why. I was thinking that like, what is it about improv that made, you know, that idea of like, I'm going to invest time in this? Because I had that same thing where it's like, I've loved other things.
Mm-hmm.
But not like this.
Yeah, not like this. One, it was my first time really like getting to kind of regularly perform in front of people.
Yeah.
And not only regularly perform, but I got to do comedy all the time. It was always comedic.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a play where I had to like audition and hope it worked out and hope I got a funny part. Like my parts can always be funny. This is all funny. This is all comedy.
Yeah.
And so like that really, I took to that. And also like you were probably too like a huge Who's Line fan. Like
big time.
I was big time Who's Line.
Yeah.
Big time. So when an opportunity came about to do what they did, I was like, I would love to try this.
Yeah.
And then like whatever comedic abilities that you are kind of have already.
Yeah.
Right. They're like, oh, this kind of works with what I can kind of do.
Yeah.
And
or it's
what's
like,
in my
wheelhouse. Kind of already doing that with friends.
Yeah.
Like.
So it's already in your wheelhouse. And then it's just a matter of like working together as a team. And then like you can figure out like, oh, I can kind of do this and I work well with others and I like this atmosphere and that type of thing. So that's probably what brought me to it was like Who's Line. And also it was like the thing I like doing, which is like comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you too, right?
Yeah, such. And I would say, like, earlier in the previous one of like SNL, you know, mm-hmm. I'm just like, how do I get on SNL? Oh, you start doing essentially improv and sketch, and you take classes at these big places and everything. But then it is that way of like kind of being able, and I mentioned this a little bit, of like kind of being able to be a cartoon.
Yeah.
And make people laugh, which growing up, that's all I wanted to do was just make people laugh. That's how I made friends. That's mm-hmm. how I like handled stuff. That's how I fucking dealt with everything.
Yeah.
And so now it's like, wait, and people now validate it even more than just a few chuckles. Like in a classroom, it's
the best. Like that was your weapon. Like that was that was your weapon of choice growing up.
Yeah.
Whether maybe it wasn't even choice, but that was your weapon of necessity, maybe.
Yeah.
Like a lot of us. And so like, okay, it's this thing that I've wielded for years.
Yeah.
But now I can do it.
Now I can do it.
And it's not just to get out of an awkward situation.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's not to just hopefully make some friends.
yeah.
Or just like. Yeah.
Now it's like, now people are liking this.
Yeah.
And I came to that like. I also was like a big stand-up fan growing up. Like tons of stand-up, any comedy CDs, any and all of them.
Yeah.
I loved them. But I just happened to get into improv. I started doing, I happened to get into improv first. I started doing some open mic stand-ups for a few years. But like by then, improv had already kind of like took hold.
That's awesome.
For better or for worse.
Yeah.
And so like I just like. I got to devote time to one.
Yeah.
So this is the one I'll do.
You really
more.
Do. I think you really do have to.
Yeah.
And there are, of course, some people who can do both, but at a certain point, there is like, oh, I need to dedicate this for a while.
Yeah.
And then I can try. But like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And so now we get to do improv together.
Now we get to do improv together all the time. And it's so fun, Dave.
I love sharing
a stage with you.
Oh, likewise.
Like, it's the most fun.
Yeah. It's. Great. And for those of you listening, and here's like what's been kind of on my mind a little bit, not just today, but it's been on my mind lately. So like Betsy, if you guys don't know who Betsy Sodaro is, listen to the previous interviewed. Ryza interviewed you, right?
Ryza's the shit.
Oh, I bet it was super fun.
It was very fun.
But those of you who don't know Betsy, like, one of the things, besides that she's just, like, super funny, just, like, a natural at it, works hard at it, also a natural at it, like, the best of both worlds. But she's, like, a, if you want, like, man, like, the reason she works well with, she works well with just about anybody. And the reason that is because she's, like, you're a good teammate. You're, like, a really good teammate.
Thanks,
and you're,
Dave.
Like, super supportive. And I'm interested to know where you got this from, because I can tell you, and I think we maybe have a similar path in this.
Yeah.
That's why I think about it, is like, for me lately, all I've been thinking about is like support.
Yeah.
On stage, off stage, kind of everywhere, and wanting to feel it. And this probably comes from me just like
and
wanting to feel it.
You are such a huge supportive player.
Oh, thanks.
It's awesome to watch you and be on a team with you where it's like, no matter what.
Yeah.
I know. And I feel very fortunate with our team of like, we have such a team of just, any of us can make a move and it will be supported. And it'll be supported in the funniest way. Like, it's really awesome.
It's great. Our team is really wonderful. And I know that's kind of lightning in a bottle.
Like, like, we're very fortunate of the team we got put on. And just all of us, we just care for each other and we want to just make each other laugh. Mm-hmm. And we want to just support each other and together on stage look silly and be silly.
Yeah.
And it's,
and it works out. And we only look, and only works because we can only look silly because we have that freedom of like, oh, my teammates have my back.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can make this goof move
that
I'm not quite sure about. And we'll see how it works out.
Yeah.
And I was thinking like how, for me, I did comedy sports for a long time.
Yeah.
A long time. And you did short form in Sacramento.
I did,
right?
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For a few months or a year?
For like a year.
For like a year,
with
right?
With Tony. That's where we met,
So you're doing these short form games.
Yeah.
Right? Me too. And that's all I was doing. And I don't know if this was like the way it was for you, but you know how with UCB, we have yes and.
Yeah.
But then we also have if this, then what else, right? And we can start to like question behavior and stuff like that. But in comedy sports, it was yes and was like the only rule.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes, and then maybe like, you know, no questions. So it
or
was,
if this, then what, people were blown away.
Blown away.
Like, how'd you think of that?
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
I was just thinking, I was just blowing the world out a little bit.
Absolutely. But almost no arguing and almost no like saying no, right?
Yeah.
For better or for worse. But we would do these shows and it was like always like yes-anding every idea, yes-anding every idea, yes-anding every idea. Like, it just never stopped. And no matter what, no matter what crazy moves that they were making, you had to yes-and, yes-and, yes-and. And I can remember doing that and, like, loving and thinking, like, this is the best. The shows were great, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, you had moments that weren't so great, but they're usually generally great. But I think that, having done that for so long, then when I came out here, you start to question things and, right? But overall, I think doing that short form, that yes-anding, just that was all you could do, really put me in like a supportive mindset.
Because
like,
no matter what you're still yes-anding the situation.
Yeah.
You're never, ever denying the situation. Even if you say no, you're still yes-anding but being like, but I found the unusual thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm calling you out, but that's great. Now let's fucking play that.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah. And
I never really thought about that, but yeah, it really is. Cause you are just yes and support.
Mm-hmm.
And then taking that into long form.
Yeah. I think you could feel that with performers. I think you can feel that with certain performers. Like, oh, I think you have, I'm not knocking long form. I love it. I love doing it.
Yeah.
But I think you can pick up some of that.
Are you sure, Dave? Dave was shaking his head. The whole time. Yeah. I hate it. Oh, my God, Dave.
I'm starting a new podcast. It's on Comedy. Comedy Sports is starting a network. And
it's 2 to 3 minutes long.
You got to wear a hat.
You have to wear a silly hat. But, Dave, nobody's going to see me with the hat.
Yes, and it, Betsy.
All right. Fair enough. Sorry. Yes.
But I think that's the, like, having that hard, that bedrock of yes-anding for so long. And, like, no matter what, I feel like you can. And not everybody, but I think you can often tell when someone's got that background.
Yeah.
Because they will support sillier moves
Yeah.
I don't want to say more often, but I could just feel it. Like, I know you have short. I know almost everyone on our team has short form.
You know, that's so interesting because, yeah, I was just thinking that. Like, we make silly moves we suspend our, what's that?
Suspension of disbelief.
Yeah, we do that a lot. I'm just like, great, in this world, this is the case.
We're all going to sing a song.
We're all going to sing a song and we're all going to commit to it and be like, yep, this is what's important right now is this song.
Yeah. Because we did a lot of that stuff. We did a lot of those like silly games in short form and we like had to go along with it and had to be super supportive and was okay being weird like that.
Yeah.
And I think, and we're just used to and comfortable doing those things because we did those things. So we know how they work and we know how we feel in those moments.
Yeah.
But I think that support is so crucial as a performer and then as a fan. Like, I think we're a good team. I think we're a good improv team. But I think
Dave just shook his head again. He's now gonna denounce Bangarang.
All right. Comedy Sports Podcast. Starting up. I knocked the theater that I'm at and the team that I'm on.
You're doing great, Dave.
And then we have to do a show tonight.
I'm telling everybody what you said.
Just wait till after the show. Just wait till after the show.
Nope. During the middle of it, when we go to introduce who we are.
In the middle of our guest's monologue, we just
Shut up. Dave Tootie said some stuff on this one podcast.
When we finish the show.
Yeah, and we destroy it.
We did the best show ever.
Oh, my God.
But I think the audience can, one of the things that I think that's beneficial, a good aspect of Bangarang is I think that the audience knows, like, that we're a good, like, we're good teammates, I think.
Yeah.
I think general.
I hope so.
I think so. I know, like, we could be, I'll characterize sometimes us as, like, wolves. Just like let out of their cages, like, because we'll make big moves and we can be really aggressive.
Yeah, yeah, but we can. Dave has broken my arm multiple times in shows, but it was funny.
And you never say it, you just like smile.
I just, yes, and and then I faint and puke afterwards, but it's always a good show.
But I think teams like that, I think teams like JV and Outside Dog, I think one of the things that you know about them is like no matter what, they will support each other and not like judge each other on stage. And like, you can see it from beginning to end and you know that in their mind, they're like, even if their teammates like make a weird move, I feel like, and I think you can throw us in there. I think you throw us in there too, is like, no matter what the moves are. Okay. Let's make that the right
move.
Okay.
This is now the world we're
cool.
in. Perfect.
Let's just do this. Yeah. Let's do this thing. Let's make this fun.
Cause it's interesting. Like in improv, especially long form. I mean, all of like, you look weird if you're not being the weird, like, or you know, like if, if somebody makes a big move and you're on the back line judging it, the audience will see that and be like, wait, what is this then?
Yeah.
Why are you doing this? Like, you will look like the weirdo.
Yeah. They can sniff that out easily.
Easily.
And then you know what's happening. And now you're in your head as the performer.
Yeah.
And that's not going to make you a good performer. And that is, like, critical. That is critical.
That's gigantic.
It's the biggest deal. Like, no matter what, who cares? Like, we are putting on a show. So smiles on stage.
Yeah.
You can talk later on if we need to. But even after our shows, sometimes if we have a bummer show, I'll get a little bit down. But that's you are always after the show. You remind me very much of Comedy Sports Milwaukee in this great way of even after, whenever our shows would end at Comedy Sports in Milwaukee, great show or bad show, we'd come back and be like, good show. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And we'll like, you know, we can internally have that dialogue of what a crap show that was or whatever. But like everyone's upbeat and supportive. And you do that after Bangarang shows. I'd say like clockwork. And it's like impressive and a good reminder to see that of like, you know what? There's no reason to like hang your head and pout right now. Maybe other people on the team love the show. So get up for them, celebrate them. And you can acknowledge like not our best, but had a good time.
Yeah.
Like there's no reason.
And in the end,
like
if it felt like the audience liked it, who cares?
Who cares?
That's
right.
Why we're there. Like,
right.
And it took me years to be like that. And I'll, don't get me wrong, I'll still have moments where it's like, why did I do that, whatever.
Yeah. Yep.
But that idea of like, hey, man, did we have fun?
You got to look for those silver linings.
Yeah.
And you got to, especially like, and if your teammates like had like a, if you know, like if I had like a bummer show,
yeah,
like you would be the first person or one of the first at least to come to me and be like, hey, man, fun show. And I'd be like, I don't know. And you'd be like, fuck it. Let's go get a beer. No big deal.
Yeah.
And like, make me feel better. And like that teammate, that teammate support is evident on stage by the team. It's evident to the audience.
Yeah.
And it's evident backstage when we are like, let's be good teammates to each other. And I think the best teams are, even though you can like, we could call each other out all day on stage,
yeah,
and like, what's that weird move you said? What's that weird thing?
Yeah,
and
sometimes
you do that and it's fun. But like for me, bang for my buck, I love it when weird move happens on purpose or accidental.
Yeah.
The rest of the team goes,
let's
make that the best.
That's, I love that so much.
Yeah.
And I feel we're down for that. I feel you especially of like, just, I feel a lot of times, yeah, you're right there being like, okay, great.
Yeah.
This is it. This is the world we're in now.
Yep.
Perfect.
Cool. That move didn't work and the audience didn't like it. Let's make them like it.
Yeah,
let's all do it.
Yeah.
And now it looks great. Now it looks wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then that's when the audience goes, oh,
yeah,
what a team. Like, I wasn't sure about that moment, but now that moment is great because they all did it. So they look like a team.
And they didn't panic. They all, you know, like,
they made it look like the right thing.
I gotta say, Dave, real quick, you are like, I always look up to you because you are such a calm player. Like, you have such an awesome, calm energy that you never seem like you panic.
Oh, thanks.
And it's so awesome. And it feels like every single, like, every line is just like, yep, that's the perfect way to respond to this. Yep, that's the perfect, funniest button we could get.
Oh, thanks.
And it just, I love it. I just, sometimes I'll be in a scene with you or even just off on the back line and I'll just be blown away. I'm like, holy shit, man. Dave Doody, guys. Like,
thanks,
everything
Bets.
You do is so, like, it feels like, I feel now like my mom of, like, a scripted, like, yep, that's the perfect way to react or end and button a scene, like, and it just blows me away, and I feel so lucky to get to watch that and play with you
same here.
Just like, how did you, and you're always just so patient when it comes to like responding and stuff, and it's really a great energy, especially I feel compared to me, I kind of panic.
It does not look like it. It only looks funny.
I shit my pants after every show. You don't know this, but my pants are full of doo-doo after every show. No. But like, and it's just really awesome and fascinating and calming and so wonderful to watch.
Thanks, Betsy.
Yeah, man.
That's
like,
super nice.
It just, you blow my mind.
But that's what we, like you said, you said scripted for a minute, or script.
Yeah.
Like, and that's like, I think if we just, I think we can always make our shows look scripted. I think that, right, that's like the highest compliment, your improv show looks scripted. I think we can always make our show look scripted or intentional, or like we planned it, if we just keep on supporting those moves. And I get we got to call out weird moves and stuff like that. And that's fine. I don't mind calling out the unusual character. That doesn't bother me. It's when a move tanks, or you can tell that someone's like stepped out and is like, God, I don't really have anything, or my idea didn't get out correctly. That's when I feel like everyone's got to be like, okay, Dave needs help in this moment.
Yeah.
We got to go give it to him. And when everyone is like locked in on that back line or in the scene, we're like, let's make this work.
Yeah.
You're flubbing that line. You don't have your idea very clear. We already kind of did this idea. It's not working very well.
Yeah.
Who gives a shit? Let's make this thing great.
Yeah.
And as long as we all do it and support. And I think somewhere we get that too is from, and I think you get this, you've got this. Again, I know I'm going back to short form a lot. But
Dave,
I know,
Dave,
I know.
We're launching this podcast.
We're launching. It's
Dave.
Like long form, right? Long form conversation. But I think here's the example I'll give. You know how? What do they say? Who says this?
Who said that? Close.
Oh yeah, that's it. But I feel like we hear this from Susie, but I know she attributes it to someone else.
Yeah.
Like, make your teammates look like poets and geniuses or something like that, right?
Yeah.
But I think like we got to do that in action when short form has like a lot of audience volunteers, right? You had that in Sacramento too, right?
Yes.
And they don't know what they're doing.
No.
But you got to like make them look good and make them feel good for like that ride home is going to be like, remember when I got on stage? Remember when you got on stage? And they'll talk about that like, for the next year. You know, it'll be in the company newsletter of like Steve from accounting got on stage and did that singing rhyming game.
Did that happen at your day job in Milwaukee?
No, we never got Kelly's work. But those types of moments like. You got to make that audience member look good, right? And you got to make them feel good no matter what. And we do that when we have people, we'll have guests at Bangarang that don't always play with us, right? But we are like, I feel like we are gentle with them and we have like kids' gloves when we play with them and like we want them to look good and we kind of elevate. We're like, let's make that the right move.
Yes.
And I think as you take that same mentality with your own teammates, and I don't think you'll have terrible shows. I think that's, I mean, you sometimes you maybe have bad shows, but I think they're harder to come by when you are constantly making your teammates look like poets and geniuses or just like treat them like an audience volunteer. Not like they're idiots, but you want them to look good and feel good. Yeah.
And that's also because I remember Susie. Because we had Susie coach us for a few years. And at one point it was something like, I can't remember, but two Bangarang members were like in love in a scene or whatever. And then they just weren't committing to that. And Susie was like, play every scene like you love that person.
Yeah.
Be interested in what they're saying.
Yeah.
And I think that's the exact same thing of just like, I want you to look good and have fun and feel good on this stage. And I feel we do that a lot.
I think we do that. Like, and it only makes you feel better.
And it only makes you feel better.
And it
only makes the audience feel better. Like,
everyone feels better.
Yes.
Everyone looks better. It only wins. And you can look at with Susie Barrett, who's our, like we said, our coach.
Love her.
She's on Sentimental Lady.
Woo!
But also, you take a look at the group games that Bangarang used to do in the Herald. We did, and Stanger and Lippert talked about this on their podcast. Susie made us do, like, pretty abstract group games, right?
Yeah, like we weren't allowed to speak.
Speak
unless
or do like traditional
like,
scenic. We couldn't do scenic group games.
Yeah, we couldn't do scenic group games.
So we do these like weird abstract group games. And
oh, God,
for a lot
Dave
of us,
just threw up.
I'm so nervous. But we made those, we did those. What if I did just throw up and then
I would be
on the floor?
Blown away.
Blown away. But then we just got back into it and like the smell, it's like a small room.
I would
the smell
have to,
came
I would
in.
Leave.
But we couldn't.
We couldn't.
Because Walsh's podcast is coming right in afterwards. So we got to like have a time crunch here.
Yeah,
we don't have time to clean it up afterwards.
Just bail.
We bail. And we blame it on Cody immediately.
Cody puked.
I don't know what's wrong with him. But Susie would make us do those abstract group games. And those group games are like weird and awkward, right?
Yeah.
Especially if you're the one initiating.
Yes.
And it's like, this is already dumb and they may not get it. And like, we practiced it a lot, so we got good at it. But in the beginning, we were not great at it. And they didn't always go well in our first couple shows. But I think we had to do these weird abstract group games and we had to commit. And so if you came out and did like this weirdo move, then we had no choice but like Jacob or Tony or Ryan or Ryan or me or Lauren would have to come out and be like, we got to support that. We have to support that. We don't have a choice.
Yeah.
And I feel like sometimes some groups that I'll watch don't always have that mentality of like, got to support no matter what. Got to make them look good no matter what.
Yeah.
And I think that's critical for me. Like, that's the thing I've been looking at. The last year or two, that's been on my mind a lot when I watch groups or when I play. And again, I think a lot of these things are just like personal to you. Is like,
yes.
Do I feel like I'm getting supported or not getting supported or whatever? You have these internal dialogues.
Oh, yeah. Those internal dialogues,
will
man.
Kill
they
you.
Will destroy
kill
you.
You.
Ugh. Yeah. Sorry. Keep going.
And I.
Oh, no. Dave just puked again.
But that's been on my mind. But I think that, like, I feel with my group, I like the support I get.
Yeah.
And I know how good that feels. I know critical it is, and sometimes I feel like we lose
really
it a little bit.
It's really nice, like talking about. It's really nice just talking about it right now. Of like, it feels like kind of just a re. What am I looking? What's the word? Like just a re.
Reaffirming or something.
Yeah,
or,
I was like, or yeah, a reminder also of just like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
I gotta think about that every once in a while.
Yeah, like we're a veteran team, and like we can get caught up we can get caught up doing a little bit of the needling each other on stage, maybe getting a little bit meta.
Yeah.
Right. And we've talked about that.
Yes.
But I think that when we get back to some of those basics and get back to that, like, support moves,
yeah.
Then I think, like, oh, yeah, that's when we really thrive. Or doing those things, whatever they're going to be. We're pretty good at that. We'll get real silly with our scenes sometimes. And, like, we'll all start singing or dancing or making weird movements. And when we do that, I think the audience loves it because they can tell, like, we love each other and we're just making, hey, that weird move that Adam did, we're going to make that the most fun move.
Then that's it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hey there, long form listeners. UCB's Matt Walsh here. If you love learning about long-form improv, then you should check out the show I host with Scott Armstrong, UCB Sports and Leisure. Each episode is an improvised radio play featuring some of improv's finest, like John Gabris, Will Hines, Ego Wodum, Brad Morris, Horatio Sands, and more. You can subscribe to the UCB Sports and Leisure podcast on iTunes, and be sure to check out all our other great podcasts on iTunes.com/UCB Comedy. Peace.
Hey, improv fans, if the suggestion for your next show is beer, maybe initiate your scene with something like, check it out, they've got Bronx beer on tap at this bar. It's the start of a great scene, and ordering a Bronx is a great way to start any night out. And Bronx is now the official house beer of the UCB Comedy Podcast Network. Visit thebronxbrewery.com for more information, and be sure to make your next pint a Bronx. And scene.
It is. It's so nice because I feel I do this and I feel you probably do this of, like, kind of check in with yourself.
Yeah.
Often. Mm-hmm. Just kind of remind yourself of these little things. This was one of yours for improv. What's another one, like, when it comes to improv that you just kind of, like, check yourself, check back in with yourself about?
One thing I'll do when I'll check in on myself, like, during a show.
Yeah.
A couple of different things. And I think this goes back to maybe some support stuff, but, like, one, I will try to notice, like, who's been in scenes and who hasn't.
Me too. Yes.
And do we need to get him or her involved?
Yeah.
And can we do that? Sometimes people are just, like, hanging back because there's, like, I'm just having one of those
sometimes
shows.
Sometimes
you have
one of those shows.
But if you can feel like, it's been a couple shows now, let's get you involved.
Yeah.
So let's make that happen. But also, like, I'll check in, and you have so much to juggle when you're on stage.
Yeah.
But I will also keep in mind, even though it's this long form show and we do have an audience there, and I know that sometimes we forget the audience, like, do what's fun for us, and that's great. And usually the audience comes along with that.
Yeah.
But I also do, like, during shows, I am noticing, is the audience liking this type of stuff? Are they not liking this type of stuff?
Yeah.
How do we adjust? And I don't want to, like, pander, but I do want to be like, I want them to laugh and I want them to like me.
That's why we're here.
Yeah. So let's figure that out. And we have to do that sometimes on the fly a little bit.
Yeah.
And, like, this is, God, I'm only talking about short form, I know.
Oh, my God, Dave. What is happening?
But we don't. Oh. But in your shows in Sacramento, you tell me if this is true or not. In comedy sports, we had a halftime. So we had a break in the show.
Yeah.
Where we went backstage and the audience, like, got to go get beer and food and whatever.
I feel we did have this in Sacramento too. Like, just a little intermission. Yeah.
So then we could talk about, hey, they really liked audience volunteer games, or they really liked this type of thing.
Yeah.
Do more of this or that. We can't do that in long form.
Yeah.
So you got to, like, check it during the show every now and again. Be like, hey, man, they like it when we're a little cleaner or a little dirtier.
Yeah.
Or they like it when we've done nothing but group scenes. So maybe let's get some more two-person scenes
really
in there.
That's a really great thing.
What does the show
to always
need?
Keep involved. Exactly. Of, like, oh, we haven't gone on a little fun tag run in a while.
Right.
That'll shift the energy.
Let's see, like, some of that variety in the show. We get caught up, and this will be a little inside baseball with Bangarang, but, like, we've talked about this before shows where sometimes we're like, we are aggressive. We will, like, start off a show and we will, like, start tagging in early and, like, want to get involved because we all just, like, want to have fun. We like playing with each other.
Yes.
So we want to get in there. So not often, but we'll sometimes say before the show, hey, let's have some of those patient two-person scenes at the top.
Up top.
Ease the audience into it, right?
Yeah.
And then we'll get faster and funnier and weirder.
Especially,
but let's start off kind of normal.
Because this is an audience, a lot of times the Friday night, a big majority of them may have never seen improv before.
Right.
You know, and so it is, because I remember we had that, like, when we moved from, because we were, you know, Harold Knight, most all students.
All students.
Tuesday nights, a lot of students.
Uh-huh.
And then, yeah, Friday nights where it was like, oh, yeah, like some of these audience members have never seen long form improv before.
Right.
So, yeah, we kind of have to ease them in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's hold your hand for a little bit until you have an understanding that this isn't stand-up and this is improv comedy or whatever it's going to be, right? But then I think that not only gets the audience like slowly involved or like they get to understand what's going on, but it also gives our show the thing that like when I'm on that back line thinking about, and I say this like in my classes that I teach, I'll often talk about variety.
Yeah.
Like, okay, let's give them that variety. So we have these two-person scenes at the top. We have a lot of group stuff later on, but so let's give them something different now. Yeah. And then sometimes during the show, I'll be like, have we had a bunch of scenes where we've been sitting the whole time? Let's do some stand-up. Let's move around.
That's such a great thing to be aware of. And I feel, I want to keep going back to like Susie. I feel Susie was very
huge
on that.
Huge.
Of like, guys, look at all the different types of, even to the point where it's like, check out the relationships in the scenes of like, wait, have we had two mother-daughter scenes or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Like, remember all the different relationships in our lives, and we can play any game with all of these relationships.
Yeah.
And that was really a cool thing too. Of like, wait, we don't have to be best friends in high school. Why not be war buddies? That's a whole different world that like,
absolutely.
We don't. Or yeah, let's be witches.
Yeah, let's be.
I'm always trying to be witches. It seems I've been on a witch kick lately.
I'm going to tell
cursing
you.
And
oh my god! I'm going to tell you right now. One of my favorite things about Bangarang, I love it when we're all women in scenes.
I love it so much.
Because sometimes you and Tony are the only two women in our team right now, and sometimes one of you are missing. So now we only have one. And now suddenly this kind of guy heavy show. But when we are all ladies, I feel like it taps into a different energy for the guys in a good way. And I think it brings out funny, different moves.
Yeah.
But I also think, just going back to support, it puts us in a way more supportive mode for whatever reason.
Is it that as you were talking about this, I was just thinking of, like, we recently had one where we were all playing women who some dudes' wives, remember? And we were kind of mapping over Sound of Music of like, burp,
oh yeah,
we all marched in and said our names and stuff.
Yeah,
and it's so interesting because there is like more of a like, okay, and now you speak.
Mm-hmm.
A more of a give and take, whereas I feel when, and I'll join in as a dude in group games where it's all guys, where it is more of like everybody just jumping down each other's throats.
I'll tell you what.
And whoever's the loudest can get the joke out.
All I want is every scene for whoever's in the scene to be playing the opposite sex of
let's do that tonight.
I love
sit, stand, or kneel during every scene.
Oh, yes. Oh my God, I'm in heaven. I'd honestly love that.
I would too.
But I think it's so fun when you and Tony play guys. It's such a different fun energy, and the audience loves it.
Yeah.
And I think it's fun when we play women. I think the audience likes that too. And they just like seeing this different energy.
Yeah.
And I think it's super supportive.
Yeah.
And it makes me over the moon. I'm
and
over the moon in those shows.
Another like just great thing of being aware of what's happening in the show is also those energies of the scene. And I remember, again, Susie being very much like, check your energy. Like if we just had a scene where the two people were like, up and angry and just a higher energy, let's slow it. Let's go the opposite direction. Because no matter what, you could still play game with these different energies and emotions and stuff.
Yes.
Oh, that's so good, Dave.
Oh, I love it.
I think you're blowing people's minds right now.
Betsy, I think we're blowing people's minds right now.
And I think
some
people are like, wait, did he really puke? He did.
That's our only takeaway.
Yeah. I think Dave puked while doing this.
Dave puked on a podcast. What podcast? I think it was like a short form podcast that he was doing.
He was just talking about how much he loves Comedy Sports and how much he hates UCB, I'm pretty sure. Weird, man.
Anyways. But those are things that I really appreciate about Bangarang and other teams that I watch that are like that. I think they're fun to watch that support. And I think that we need that. We got to have that. We got to keep that stuff going. And I think that only makes your teammates better, makes them feel better.
Yeah.
And then that's why I like you. Here's the thing, I know we're wrapping up here. I can remember, I did a show with Drew Tarver recently. We did a two person, show at, Lapcox.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And so Drew Tarver and I just did a two person and it was fun. And I bring this up because it reminds me of you, but I remember after the show, I remember thinking, I'm like, oh, Drew and I have really fun shows together. Like we've done scenes. I'm like, we have fun scenes. It's super fun.
Yeah.
I'm like, Drew and I really do well. And I think that about you too. I'm like, Betsy and I have real fun scenes. Like they're super fun and silly. And then I'm like, oh man, that's great. But then I remember, I'm like, I know I'm an okay improviser, but then I remember I'm like, oh wait. It's because they're amazing and they make you feel good and
Daisy,
look good.
You're amazing.
But then I thought like, oh, I know I'm all right too. But I thought they could be performing with someone who's like new to improv and never done it. And that person would be like, Betsy and I, like they could be like a Walmart cashier. And they're like, after that scene, they're like, Betsy and I are really good at improv together. We do really well. We should do this all the time. It's like, no,
Dave.
It's because Betsy's super supportive and will support your move and make you look good. And that's why you feel like it went so well, because they're just like, they're that giving and that great of a teammate and that great of a scene partner. And so when we do that, anyone feels good and looks good. And that's what we should be doing
Dave.
All the time.
That's really thank you so much.
It's true.
And that is just a nice thing to keep checking in with, of like that support again of just like be in love with your scene partner and you want to know everything they have to say and you care about them.
Yeah.
Because no matter what, even if you care about them, you can get mad at them because you care about them or you can support them because you care about like any of these. No matter which way you go, whether you want a straight man or join in, it's like you do it because you care about them and that'll make all the difference in the world.
Absolutely. And you don't have to love that person, but for that half hour before the show, the hour show, and a half hour afterward, be in love with your teammates.
Yes. Yeah.
And then everything, you can leave it at the after you leave.
Dave hates all of us.
I just want to get through the show. Once we get to birds,
I gotta ask you I want to ask you two more questions, if that's okay. I think we got the time. One is, what is your, I guess we've pretty much talked about it. Mm-hmm. Never mind. I'm going to ask you one more.
Great.
What is your long-term improv goals and then career goals?
Long-term, oh my God.
I know. I mean,
that's a tough one. Long-term improv goals.
Yeah.
I've been doing improv for a long time.
Yeah.
So here's my long-term, and I've gotten to do a lot of what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
I told someone I'm 40. I just said this recently to a couple of different people. I'm 40 and I've been doing improv like professionally since like 2001. Right.
Yes.
So for a good amount of time. Like if you took it away from me tomorrow, I could easily say, great, had a long run.
Yeah.
I did improv and comedy longer than I ever imagined, with funnier people than I ever imagined. And if you took it away from me, I mean, I'd be bummed, but I'd be satisfied with what I've done and what I've got to experience.
Great, yeah.
But that being said, long-term improv goals is to stay not only supportive, but to stay, like, willing to learn and not get stuck in my old ways, like, this is how it should be done back in my day. Like, I always want to be like, no, this is fun. These people are great. These new people are great. I'm having a good time.
Yes.
And try to stay on the ball and just, like, stay in the moment and really enjoying it.
That's perfect.
Yeah, and not...
And that's a good life...
I think so.
...way of life, too, of just being like, okay, let's just keep going, stay in the moment, enjoy it. For what it, like, no matter what, and don't get stuck in my day.
Yeah, like, I had to learn, when I moved, and I'll put it to the where it kind of comes from. I know when I moved out here, I had to, like, learn, when I started doing UCB, I had to, like, drop a lot of old habits and old ways, like, really adjust and come around to new ways of thinking. And some people, and you know these people, too. We have friends and people we've been in class with who couldn't make that shift.
Yeah.
Who couldn't make the shift from... I do it from this school's train of thought, or in my city, we did it like this, and this is how I do it, and I'm not going to change. No, you got to like be willing to adapt and evolve.
And that's just comedy in general, too.
It's comedy in general.
Because you see that with like older comedians where you like watch them now and you're like, ooh, this seems kind of hacky, where it's just like, oh, they just haven't been in touch with what's
right
going on right now in the world of comedy.
Yeah.
Or what, or in the world, you know, like
yeah.
that. Yeah, that's so great, Dave.
Yeah, yeah,
that's good.
And then long-term career goal is for us to make a movie Sound of Music style where we're all Mormon wives and we say our names.
Yeah, that's a perfect. We're gonna make that happen. Uh-huh. Let's start pitching it.
Great.
What would we call it?
We call it Mormon. The Mormon. We're terrible improvisers right now.
I was just thinking that Mormon. No, we just need one man.
I almost said Mormon Tabernacle Choir, but
but that's an actual thing.
But that's an actual thing that exists.
Beautiful, beautiful Christmas songs.
More. It'll be more in big capital letters.
Yes,
and then men in parentheses, little letters, and then wives. So it'll be more wives, but it'll also be men. Mormon wives. It'll just be a bunch of wives. But all the wives have to be. Almost all men.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's just do reverse, like, so that all, yeah.
And the husband is a woman.
And the husband's a woman.
Yep.
That's perfect. Okay. I think everybody will buy it.
I think everybody's going to buy it.
Everybody.
In 2017, everybody can buy things now.
Every studio is going to make this movie.
Oh, I would love it if they all put out their version of the same idea in the same at the same time.
That would be fascinating.
That'd be fascinating.
And they have to, yeah. Okay, well, I think we just,
Hollywood.
We figured out Hollywood. Dave.
Betsy.
Thanks so much. This was really nice. Like,
you're a great
this
host.
This was delightful. You're a great guest. And you're going to be an even better host. I know it.
Oh my God,
you're gonna
I can't
destroy
wait.
It. That was really fun to just kind of, because we don't, even though we've been on, I think because we've been on a team together for over 7 years.
Mm-hmm. We don't always talk about
improv
in depth.
We don't always talk about
we
improv.
Do it all the time.
Yeah.
But, it's
but
fun
this
to,
is nice.
I loved it.
Oh, Dave.
I loved it.
Thank you.
We're going to have a good show tonight.
Hell yeah, we are. It's going to be really fun. Yeah, come out to Bangarang. Oh, yeah, you want to plug anything?
You guys should come out to Bangarang. We're on Friday nights at UCB Franklin.
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. And also, you can check out a short film that Casey Faye and I made called Karaoke King.
Yes.
You can find it on Vimeo called Karaoke King.
I thought you were just about to say you can find it on video. And I was like, Dave.
Dave, you've got to evolve. You've got to evolve. And then, I don't know, follow me on Instagram, Dave.
Yeah. Timmy. Yes. Okay. Thank you, Dave. You're the best.
Thanks, Bets.
All right. And that was a long form conversation. Woo! We're doing an outro script. Next week's episode will pick up with a new round of improvisers based in New York City. but fear not, because Dave Tooney will be returning as your host in 5 weeks.
Dun,
shit,
dun,
Dave.
Dun.
You got that in your calendar?
Yeah, I'm staying here until then.
Thank you so much. I'm Betsy Sodaro. Follow me on Instagram.
You've been listening to the UCB Long Form Conversations podcast on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network. If you like this podcast, please subscribe and review at itunes.com/UCB Comedy. The opinions expressed in this episode are those of the comedians talking and don't necessarily reflect the opinions of UCB Theater or Training Center. Find cutting-edge comedy videos on YouTube and Vimeo at UCB Comedy. Find our live shows at ucbtheater.com and connect with us on social media at UCB Comedy.
Thanks to the Bronx Brewery, the official house beer of the UCB Comedy Podcast Network, for their support. Visit thebronxbrewery.com for more information on all their craft beer. And be sure to make your next pint a Bronx.